tomorrow. Welcome to That's the Chunky. This is Kevin here with J-Rod, King of the Slams. Sorry, yes. We've been off for a while. They at Jared's job, they kept moving his lunch back like hour by hour for like 6 weeks.
Yeah, it killed.
Killed.
I took so much.
Are you going to tell them?
Tell them what?
How I housed Dylan's burger.
No. I'm going to tell them you tried to kill the president, though.
Damn. I'm not saying it. How's it going?
Going great. I was telling you before we started, I'm a little brain foggy right now, so this is not going to be peak performance, but I'm excited to be back. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, the resident fourth pointer brother. we are going to talk about Tim's episode of the characters today. I think we've talked about it a little bit. I did like a watch yesterday and a watch today. We have some loose ends to tie up though.
Okay.
We did our battle of the bands last. I kind of want to do one again, but we do need some more music. We got some got a lot of Dangerous Nights crew music, but we need some more. The winner, which I think you and I were diplomatic. We did like all the songs, but I think deep down both of us liked Bones Are Their Money by the Denim Boys Band.
Yeah.
And they won in fairly substantial manner in our Reddit poll. So shout out to them. I love all the songs. But yeah, special place in my heart for that one.
Yeah, it was excellent. Great work, Denim Boys, man.
Yeah, I think they could be a real challenge if someone remade Lady Luck from the Sanford Paradise sketch.
I don't want to stomp on it. That sketch really had me laughing this time, and it was never like a real favorite of mine, but it's quality. There's some good escalation in that. There's some good like just depravity. It's good.
Oh, it's funny. I gotta tell a little story. So one thing that's been happening more and more, you're a Twitter guy, I'm a Reddit guy.
Yes.
Reddit has a comment section, and a lot of "I think you should leave" catchphrases are sort of creeping into that area. I have to say, and I can get in more depth this. I was supposed to have the tab open, but I forgot to do it. But I can tell the story and get the point across. Somebody posted this video of a woman claiming that this $100 bill a guy was holding, it was like a prank, and I think he kind of like picked up a $100 bill and was like, "Oh, $100 bill," and she was like, "That's mine." And he's like, "Is it?" Like, and she like keeps claiming it's hers, and like eventually it's not a real $100 bill, and he's like, "You lied to me. Like, if you said this was yours, but it's blah 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 blah." So someone in the comment section is like, "She's a real piece of shit." So of course, great. I replied, "People can change."
Of course.
And I got fucking downvoted into oblivion. Like, arguably the downvotes I got, -441, like are akin to saying something like Hitler wasn't that bad or something like that. Like, I actually think I got downvoted worse than saying something like that. But the funny thing is some people of the show caught on. So like that post has -441 points and 9 awards. So it just shows like, fans of the show are out there, but we are nowhere near even a tiny, I don't want to use the word majority, but it's not as many of us as you think.
I think it'll keep spreading, man. It's like COVID. It's keep permeating. No, I don't want to say that. Damn. No, yeah, I'm going to stand by it. It's like COVID. It's going to keep spreading.
Season 3, the Omicron variant.
That's great marketing. They should absolutely use that.
Yeah, seems like something Tim might do. But anyway, yeah, I kept doubling down. Said they probably won't even let me hold the baby. That got downloaded big. And
people reacted negatively to that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think, but what's funny though is when I look back at it, all I said was that people can change. And that's that true. Like fucking infuriated people.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know if we have the most forgiving culture anymore.
Possibly not.
And kids don't even know how to do cursive anymore. If I hear another old person say that, I'm going to flip out.
Oh my God. There was some standardized test I had to do that I had to write in cursive, and it was ugly. Like I could not get it together. They had to give me extra time. I had to write this little paragraph in cursive, and it was a disaster.
Did this happen recently?
No, it was for law school. It was the LSAT. Like you had to like wow. write some like attestation in cursive. And I was like, what the fuck is that? Like, I don't know how to do that. And then, so I was just doing like curly letters basically, but it still took me a while to do it. And then,
you made like the S from seventh grade.
Yeah, basically.
It's a cool S. Fucking A.
Fucking cursive.
I want to throw out, this shouldn't be too hard to find, but there's some sort of like Michael Bolton sketch show on Netflix that's really made by like the Lonely Island guys.
Oh, wow. Really?
I saw a clip of Tim Robinson playing a celebrity chef in it, and I thought it was pretty hilarious.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Absolutely.
So there's a brewery in Maine called Mast Landing. And last year they made a Ruben Rabassa themed beer. I can't remember what it's called. I actually still have two cans in my fridge.
Yeah, I thought you were drinking one during one of these sessions or whatever.
I did. I'm saving two. If we ever get Ruben on the show, I'm going to wear one of those like novelty beer helmets and have the two cans in it at once. I am going to get fucked up, but
it's worth it. It's worth it.
Yeah. Like, what do I have to do if he's on the show? You know what I mean?
I know.
So they have a new beer, which its can looks like the Dan Flash's shirt, and it's called My Exact Style.
That's awesome.
Just throwing that out there for people. I got to try to find that. And yeah, the last thing I think before we get into our sketch, maybe two more things, is Tim Robinson was on a Tim Heidecker podcast for charity. And were you able to watch that?
Yeah, it's amazing. Was that recent?
I think so.
Yeah, because Tim Heidecker looks super young in it, but I think that's just how he looks. I think he's maybe lost some weight or something since
without the Howie beard.
Yeah, without the Howie beard. are they really from the same town?
I don't think so.
Oh, they made that.
Yeah, Tim Robinson is from. Near from the Detroit area.
Oh yeah, right. Not Allentown, Pennsylvania. Yeah. Right. It's a good call. Good call.
Allentowners. But yeah, Tim's hilarious, and you know, basically the premise is he's just like the ultra hipster who doesn't like anything Tim Heidecker's done recently, calls everything a cash grab.
Do the old shit. Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
Tim Heidecker calls him an asshole, and he says, "See, now that's funny." So go watch that if you can't find it. People know I'm highly accessible on Instagram at That's a Chunky. And the last one was when Antonio Brown left the field of his game abruptly and started pulling his helmet and shoulder pads off. Someone made a version dubbed with Carl Havoc saying, "There's too much shit on me. I gotta fucking get it off."
It's so great.
Speaking of cash grab, I think I'm gonna make some t-shirts.
Yes, let's do it.
If people are interested, reach out. Your Instagram message won't be legally binding unless, say, one of the hosts of the show were a lawyer, and we will fucking sue you into oblivion. Yeah, I think we're gonna make some t-shirts. Just keep that in the back of your head. Squirrel away. If you save 50 cents a week for the next, say, 2 or 3 years, you'll have enough money to get one.
Never do not make a size for like a skinny ass Indian kid, because like that's not going to be available.
Well, the big question I was wondering is, should they be regular sizes, or should we make sizes that will fit over the chunky costume?
Or at least fit over the Carl Havoc body, right?
Oh my god. I wonder if Swayzeen's gonna make that vest at all.
As someone who is looking for Carl Havoc Halloween costumes, a lot of people went as Carl Havoc on Halloween, by the way. People made their own. But there amazing. Was not much. I could not find the mask or a mask that looked close enough to him. And I cannot find that vest. But I think people managed to go to the thrift stores and get it themselves. But Swayzeen should absolutely. And shout out to Swayzeen. I'm wearing his Dan Flash's shirt right now. He sent us some awesome magnets.
Oh my God.
Clown Peter.
The refrigerator
stickers.
Poetry.
Yeah. Love it. Love it.
I can't take it out though, because my 2-year-old will lose it all immediately.
Yeah, I know.
So I'm just looking at it longingly. And then sometimes when I can't have something at home, I'll bring it to work, but that would not be appropriate.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I have some issues with kids and a puppy that would eat all of them, even if they were stuck on something. So I need to find the right time to introduce those to my house. I have them sitting here right next to me somewhere right now, actually. Amazing, though. Amazing product.
You know you're a dad when you have to sneak refrigerator magnet poetry.
Not cool. I know.
Not cool. Who's that tall drink of water that just came in? That's Sammy Paradise, old Two Eyes himself.
I was like, did someone come into your house? That was a really good setup. I did not see it.
Nice. I watched the characters. I think if you made that one episode of I Think You Should Leave, I think it's in the, I'm going to say it's in the top 2 or 3. Controversial statement.
As a standalone episode of those sketches?
Yeah.
I don't know if I get there. I think there were a couple that were sort of misses for me. I appreciated them, but there were definitely some that could easily fit into season 1 or season 2. The limo driver sketch or the limo office.
Oh my God.
Is amazing. The Pointer Brothers, a lot in there that I didn't quite remember. But you see the elements. Well, obviously Wagyu and Chunky is a direct connection. And then just a lot of the humor is very in line with season 1 and season 2. And I really like Sammy Paradise. I like that one too.
All right, yeah, let's go sketch by sketch. Yeah. So for me, Sammy Paradise really follows the theme of I Think You Should Leave. Guy makes a simple mistake and it's okay, so you go broke, you wanna reclaim, strong arm some of your money back, that's reasonable.
Yep.
You wanna get some money at the price of your dignity. Okay, people do that. But then when nobody goes in and he still decides to follow through on it, it's just so I Think You Should Leave.
I love it. I love the when he tries to sell his girlfriend to that guy, and he's like, you could do anything, rimming, you could pee on her, or you can rip out her teeth and keep them or something.
As souvenirs.
As souvenirs.
It's so problematic.
Yeah, it is quite problematic.
Hey, fat fuck, that's my steak.
and then it he's trying to do the lawsuit with the fountain burning him, and then
just like gazpacho,
just like the steering wheel burning him in season 2. A lot of heat touching surfaces. I love where he gets down to sucking his own dick in the bathroom and charging admission. And then it ends with him straining to do it, and then he's I touched it.
And his poor woman, girlfriend or wife is just
I know.
Good fortune, ring a ding dong. I'm ruined. You jinxed them. You owe me $50,000. Yeah, I know. When he gets the steak, rare, not rare, one of a kind. He's got all the witty quips. I think it's really, I like that I Think You Should Leave model, because the setup is so non-realistic.
I know.
No, yeah, it's just, yeah, I think it's a really, like, well-crafted sketch. The guy who plays, I think it's technically supposed to be the chef, because he's like, here's a tip, change your career. The yeah. face the guy makes when he looks at the camera. Nice, yeah, nice little piece of acting there.
It was a good acting job, yeah.
I'll take your oldest bottle, extra bubbles.
Yeah, you know, you're even saying stuff that, like, I only had a chance to watch about one and a half, or watch this whole episode one and a half times, and I did not, I kind of zipped through that one because I wanted to see if I missed something on the others, but yeah, there are a lot of great lines in it. It's good. It's good. I remember watching this, like, between season one and season two, and I just was not as into it. And then this time around, it's got a lot in there. A lot of, like, good writing, a lot of good acting premises. It works. I did not take notes this time, so I could tell you filled my role by, you have, like, several pages of notes in front of you.
I did take some notes. So after this one, what sketch goes next after this one?
The limo one.
The limo goes right next. Oh, man.
That's my favorite, by the way. I love it. I love it.
It's actually not my favorite in this episode, but I mean, like, I think I would put it, like, top 10 or top 15 out of everything. I think it's just, like, it's a perfect sketch.
Yeah.
And sort of, like, the deep aspect of it I was, like, thinking about today is, what's funny is in the relationship in that office, Morley has all the power. Because yeah. he's so oblivious to anything that's happening to him. And he's so pitiful and sad that even, like, the three cronies are like the one guy goes, "Oh, Morley, are you doing okay, bud?"
Yeah,
like, he can't even be mean to him because he's just too sad.
That's a good observation. You're right. He completely diffuses them and deflates their balloon because Roger's like the king, but, like, Roger can't phase him. I mean, like, the joke fell flat and tapped into this, like, horrible story with, like, Uncle Dave in the tent and his relationship with his dad at the end, which was, like, fucking devastating. It was great. I mean, it's a great sketch.
Say it after he says, like, I love you.
Oh my God, that is so devastating. He's like, "I love you." And he's like, say it. And he's like, "Oh."
And that's maybe, like, the third saddest thing that happens in the sketch.
He's like, "Dad, I've got good news and bad news. The good news is Mom's alive. The bad news is she's, like, voting my boss." And then he's like, "No, he's super cool." And it's like, it's fucking amazing. I love the looks on the guy's faces, like Zach just, like, losing it after, like, he's, like, telling the story about the uncle and then his relationship with his dad, where he's, like, a sergeant or something. And he was like, "Sir, yes, sir, yes."
Oh my God.
I'm trying to look it up too.
I think the man who plays King of the Slams.
He's been on a lot of stuff. He's been in quite a few things, I think.
I think he was always on Conan.
Yeah.
But I think he's actually uncredited in the episode.
Really?
On IMDb. Yeah, unless I'm, like, totally missing it. But yeah, he's hilarious. Just as, like, at the beginning, "Yeah, we got limos. You're thinking of a hearse, dumb much?"
Yeah, I know.
And his t-shirt says, "Yeah, I play drums."
Yeah, I know. That's a sneaky good shirt. An inside, like, deep dive Tim Robinson shirt.
Oh, man. "I got in trouble with my neighbors over the weekend. I was listening to my jazz too loud. I'm such a jazz head, right?"
Tim is, like, I mean, the mustache is great. What are the other sketches where he has a mustache? It's like, is there another one? I guess the Sammy Paradise, does he have facial hair?
I think he does. Yeah. I'm, like, more and more just, like, amazed by Tim's sort of, like, chameleon nature on the show.
Yeah.
I forgot to do this. We're gonna quickly grovel
Yeah, what the hell, man?
Yeah, Tim is performing as part of this like Netflix comedy festival in LA. What is that, in May? I think it's in May.
Yeah, I think his thing is in May, but the whole festival spans like a long time, I think.
So like obviously no one could get tickets. There was like very few seats in the theater. But like Jared and I want to go.
Yeah, I want to go.
And where I think you should leave historians, I guess.
Yeah. Fuck yeah, we are.
So if we can go, like, tell us what it has to be. You know, I'll dress up as Sammy Paradise. J-Rod will dress up as Morley from the sketch or whoever. Tell us what it's... And I think if we made it out there, we could actually do a pretty awesome live podcast with people yeah. we know because they all live in LA. Like, what if we could get, like, Steve Moulton together with Professor Uribe?
Yeah, it's rolling.
You know, I mean, like, the combinations would be magical.
Throw so Jimmy we're just going to, like... There.
Yeah, oh my God, Nick Kazarian, that would be amazing. We're just going to, like, in a very dignified way, beg for it to be your plus one to the show.
I think
give you money for the tickets.
I've been Googling, like, trying to find secondary markets. The website says they're non-transferable, but I just find that hard to believe. Like, are they using, like, some sort of bio tracing to the original purchaser? I can't imagine how they do it that you can't buy them, but I am looking. I'm still actively looking, in fact.
All right, I'm pretty sure I would like get a fake passport for this.
Yeah, we could do that.
I've seen it happen a lot in the movies, like Rush Hour 2. I'm sure I could watch it, figure out what to do.
We should watch yeah. Rush Hour 2 and make fake passports. That's the next podcast, I think.
Yeah, hang with the co-host of That's a Chunky. We're not really that cool, but we're loyal.
Yeah. Yeah, we're loyal.
But we are cool.
Yeah. Yeah, we're cool too.
J-Rod's kind of a jazz head, right?
yeah.
Yeah, man. To me, that sketch is like really well put together. Like just his intro coming in about being a jazz head and the mustache. And then like with the donut, do you think I can fit this whole thing in my mouth? That happens later at the end. But you like meet Morley the character. And then, like, the whole uncle thing. And it's, like, really sad and pitiful. But, yeah, it's just funny. Like, he has this weird power over the office because you can't insult somebody who doesn't understand.
It's true.
That sketch is amazing.
That's why
it makes me mad that,
on.
Like, oh, sorry.
Okay. No, I learned early on I couldn't insult you because you just would never get it. So you kind of, you're my kryptonite.
Or at that time, like, I wasn't, my brain wasn't registering memories anymore.
I love that. One of my favorite lines, you haven't mentioned it yet, is when he says, like, I just stopped something horrible from happening or something yes. along to that effect. Where
oh, my like, oh, God. Oh, my God. Then after, he's like, is uncle whatever going to be over?
I really hate that guy. He's just like.
Oh, my God.
I think it's Uncle Dave. And he's like, is Uncle Dave going to be over? I really hate that guy. And then it becomes like the sir, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I love you. Say it. Yeah, it's great.
So where do we go next? Pointer Brothers?
Yeah, which is also a lot of sneaky good stuff in Pointer Brothers. I think that's, I mean, it looks so much, so similar to the Buff Boys and That's a Chunky.
Yeah.
There are a lot of elements in there that, you know, hit later episodes, but it's good. I mean, I love the relationship between Wagyu and the female, like an other female employee, where it's like she talked to me first, and then it was like we can't fire her because of what he did. Yeah, the woman rolling off the stage.
I think Connor O'Malley is amazing in this sketch.
Yeah, he's so good. Yeah, he's a star.
He can like dial up the anger. So I have some notes. Funny thing, the year before it was Bonnie Raitt.
Yeah, I know.
that's a big step down.
Yeah, that's a huge step down. That's a good point.
If you look, I read this on Reddit, so I can't take credit for this. If you look closely, they're all wearing gold chains with vials at the end.
No, I did not catch that.
I would presume might have the cocaines in it. One of the hosts in the crowd has a great moment where they start, they might say like one line about what they're going to do, and the guy goes, oh no, that can't be what this is. I did some math. If there's 1,000 people in the auditorium, which is what they said, and there's 3 of them, and they can point to one person a second. I actually think they could do more than that.
Yeah, okay.
It should take about 5.5 minutes.
Probably the length of the sketch. But then there's the Wagyu can fool the people. Yeah, that's the curveball.
But should Wagyu shouldn't be able to point faster than them, right?
Well, he's touching them, right? So, like, you saw him at the end. He's just he's walking down the aisle just touching heads, including women's heads, so which he's not allowed to do.
Wagyu hates points. We will repoint you. Ladies, don't let Wagyu touch you. He's not allowed to. Did you hear that, Paul? Not after what you did. So, by the way, always Paul. So, Tim hates somebody named Paul.
Yeah, it's got to be. There's got to be something there.
When he comes on the show, let's remember to ask that.
Yeah. Do you hate? Yeah, God, we should keep a running list of questions we're going to ask him.
I know. Don't point again. It makes it less special. Don't tell me what to do. So they tell the woman, lay down and roll off then.
Her execution of that is hilarious because she just lays down, extends her arms and legs out straight, and just goes, and then immediately falls to the ground.
And that's where it gets haywire. Like Connor O'Malley's like, shut the fuck up, you piece of shit. She's fine. Every man in this audience who didn't try to catch her is a fucking coward. Damn it, Wagyu, that's gonna set us back. And then at the end, he's just saying, "This is your wife." And he's like,
"I know the Tim like pretending to bone someone's wife." As the wheels are coming off, it's hilarious. It definitely fits the mold of I think you should leave. It's great. I think if it was on, I mean, it would be in probably my top 10.
We're up to like 70 amazing sketches right now or something.
Yeah, I'm not going to commit to a number, but it's definitely it's up there with the like Chunkies of the world and the just like Baby Pageant, a little bit of that there too, like some animus. Like Tim really does like kind of awkward audience settings. I mean, because it's like, you know, like this was a lot like the you know, the Buff Boy sketch where it's just people sitting around like kind of uncomfortable. And I think like even the Baby Pageant is another instance where it's just a big crowd at like an absurd event. And it really delivers like pretty much every time. I mean, the Buff Boys is not my favorite sketch, but I've been thinking about it a ton. I keep thinking of Carve of Beef and just some other like just yeah, that's a good crop. And then, you know, like just Sam's delivery on a lot of those lines is hilarious. And you're right, the writing, like the dialogue in it is pretty funny too.
Yeah, and while we're going to get into like, we're going to leak through some season 3 predictions, but it seems like Sam's kind of going for a trilogy.
Yeah. Or do you think, what do you think Sam, you're right. Because I was thinking like there is a trilogy already with Pointer Brothers, Baby of the Year, and Buff Boys, but you're right. It's Sam could be the trilogy on this one.
So what's the next pageant? I mean, like, you feel like he might go elderly?
Yeah, because it's been kids stuff. I mean, it's babies, like, you know, kind of adolescents. I mean, you could go awkward teenagers on something, or you're right, elderly.
Or like
I
think dads.
Dads.
Like that.
Dads could be something. Yeah, I think you're right. I think there will be something in this vein because, you know, even the characters had something like this. So it's like,
yeah,
you know, he's going to do something like it.
I think we might have just got ourselves a writing credit on season 3. Like if any of those happen, we'll just.
Yeah, right. It's our idea. Exactly.
Fucking sue. All right. Let's I'm going to presume that we're going to talk about maybe the low point of the episode.
The wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the crapping the pants. I like the torching the American flag.
It's funny.
Yeah. Which made me realize, like, you know, with like in the wrestling era and like video games, like there's a lot of like sort of like the bad guys are anti-American.
Yeah.
Which is like, he really hit that point. And I was like, yeah, you're right. Like it's, they villainize anyone from like a foreign country, particularly anyone who's like Middle Eastern or Russian.
But what's funny is when they show, like, you know how Tim is so like worldly?
Yeah.
When they show those people in the sketch, like they don't look cartoonish. They actually look kind of cool.
Yeah, they do look cool. I agree.
I kind of appreciated that. I was like, that's Tim to the core. He's not going to take the like, the low hanging fruit. I kind of think it's pretty easy to sum this up. I actually think the premise is really funny, and I think he's funny. But like when you're doing this, like, I think you should leave semi cringe kind of humor. Like you need more interplay between characters.
Yeah, that's a good
point. And the host just doesn't, like, he's just playing, he's not even playing a straight man. He's just kind of like furniture.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And so I think, I even think Tim probably looked back at that and was like, I know this is funny. Like, where did it go wrong? And then he's probably like, oh, like if he had had one of the other wrestlers there or something, it probably would have been funny.
Yeah, you're right. I think, yeah, he needs someone else. You need, it can't be a one man show, which is essentially what that sketch is. That's a good point. Yeah, the wrestlers aren't there. It's just pictures and it's just him performing the whole time. Damn, you just dissected that and just diagnosed the problem. And I think we're all better for it. And I think Tim diagnosed the problem and never did it again with any of the other ones.
Three funny things from that. He says, when the first one where he's talking about it was like, not fair. He said, no girlfriend jumping in. he gets beat up by the girlfriend. And then later he says, just man on man, hardcore. And then he like checks himself and he's like, match. don't spit on me. It's just a game. And then one wrestler who beats him, he says, you've been doing it way longer, which is just kind of funny because being old is not good for wrestling.
That's a good point.
Another sketch that I think has a really brilliant premise, Jeff.
Yeah, this was probably my second least favorite. I do like the Jeff sketch. I like the guy who plays Jeff, who's great.
Unreal.
And I love how it, where it goes, because it just, it's like increasing absurdity.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think is, if we had to treat this as a serious sketch, okay? Yeah. What is the dad's issue? Like, what is it that, is it that he needs someone like a father figure in a weird sort of way, although, or he wanted a boy? Like, what do you think his issue is?
It's a great question. It could be father figure. It could just be a friend.
That's a good point. It could be a friend.
It also could be that he's in love with this sort of like weird American nostalgia. All the things he's like yearning for. Well, I mean, like, I have to boil this down to, I was really on fire today doing some, like, talk about themes. He is, literally, he says, I miss him every day at the end, about a person who doesn't exist.
That's a good point.
That's some deep shit. And it's, yeah, it's just like this, has this, like, you know, like, a lot of people are able to have this, like, dream of what their future looks like. So, like, he dreams up this world for his daughter that is incredibly unlikely to happen. And then he just, like, lets it go too far. But then, like, it's so crazy that he actually is feeling sadness when the person in his dream dies. It's fucking wacko.
It is wacko.
What's funny is I think if Tim had a real singer record this, I actually think, like, 5% of our country would just, like the song.
Yeah, sure, I agree. I'm not gonna dispute that. Yeah, it's bonkers. You're right. Like, I don't know if it's like he's like trying to live vicariously through his daughter.
Yeah.
And then the when Jeff shows up to punch the guy hitting on her, And he makes the knuckle sandwich joke, which I found very hilarious the way it was delivered.
Yeah.
I like it. I like, you know, the image of him riding on the back of the motorcycle is the thing that sticks with me, oddly.
Yeah.
It wasn't my favorite, but it was good.
No, I get it. It's definitely like, I think you have to be in the right mood. It's like, the lyrics just get like increasingly more ridiculous. But it's very subtle from the beginning. Like, even part of the song is like his daughter hurting herself on her bike.
Like, yeah.
Like, I wouldn't look back at something like that wistfully. I'd be like, oh man, remember when my daughter hurt herself on the bike? That sucked. You know what I mean? Like, his name will be Jeff. He'll have a good job and your life will be so complete. I think maybe the argument is that, like, he actually is in love with Jeff, or the concept of Jeff.
Yeah.
I don't know. Jeff's so cool. He's so freaking tough. He's funny as goddamn hell. Freaking Jeff, funny as hell. Kisses my daughter so damn hard. That's,
yeah, that one. The scene of him making out with the daughter is just disturbing. But yeah, that's Jeff.
He talks about the rubber of the road.
It's a little weird, isn't it?
I think the whole thing, I think it's like meant to make fun of these people who, like, everything they like has to be something that like touches them in this nostalgic way. Like, I know people like this, like, they can only, they're like just living in like one day in like 1974, and like all the movies they like have to be related to that, and music, yeah, and everything. And it's like, there's a lot of good new stuff too, you know?
True, there is good new stuff.
Like, there's a show called The Wire. It's awesome. Brand new.
Yeah, brand new. I still have to rewatch that. I'm so pissed. I still haven't taken the time. It's a commitment, you know, to go back in. But
I'm going to make a hot take. I think the first watch is the best of The Wire.
Whoa. Okay.
I do think season one is like the most rewatchable.
Okay.
Because, you know, there's like the little trick that they figure out.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And whenever you watch a show like that, you were trying to figure out the trick, and then you get to watch it knowing the trick, it's fun to watch it again. Anyway. We got 2 minutes. It's not going to be enough for the last
gun shop. Okay.
But I will log off and log right back on if you want.
All right. Let's do it. All right.
All right. Back fresh to That's clock. Chunky. What'd you say?
Fresh clock. We're good.
Fresh clock. Welcome back to That's Chunky. I'm only going to need like 43 of this 45 minutes to talk about the gun shop sketch. I am going to reiterate. I love this sketch. It's probably, okay. Honestly, out of all the Tim sketches, top 10.
You're going to go top 10 on this?
I think so.
Knowing that there are like 70 now.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think I might be to the point where I've watched this probably top 5. Like, I've watched this sketch like 30 times, and it makes me laugh out loud every time.
Okay.
Right. I think it's just the premise. I'm just going to throw it out. I think poop jokes, fart jokes are hilarious. Yeah. I think vigilantism can also be hilarious. And just the way this sketch, I mean, obviously the sketch is a loose takeoff of Dirty Harry.
Very not, loose, but yeah,
not loose bowels. Not actual Dirty Harry, but the character in the sketch who is incredibly meek and like non-threatening is trying to enact this Dirty Harry like fantasy on people that have been critical of his like
bowel movements in public places.
Yeah,
yeah. I have a question. All right, so. Do you think he's buying the gun to go back and, you know, shoot or threaten the people that made him feel bad? Or do you think he's really getting the gun for his personal protection in future events when someone shames him for a bad bowel movement in a public restroom?
There's a third option.
Oh, go on.
that he just wants to go to the store and feel the catharsis.
Okay. All right.
But in that light, I am going to guess number one.
I think in perfect for the sketch, I think it's number two. I think it's, he knows that he's going to have some paint jobs in the future in Lopez. George Lopez might be involved. And I think he wants it to like shut someone down for embarrassing him.
I mean, also like when we talk about, you know, it's really inhumane for him. Like he has no control over this. He needs to go to the bathroom. So right. People who mock him and shame him, you know, there's some cruelty to that. So he needs the self-defense of, I just think his delivery of the lines. I also think the straight man is really great.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah.
He's really believable as a gun store owner. And then just like they poke fun at the fact that like no gun store owner wants to not sell you a gun.
Yeah, I know.
So he's like half, and then just like he first breaks where he's like, whoa, did that really happen? Or something like that. I got some lines. it starts pretty basic. Put your hands up, punk. Say I didn't clog your toilet. Say it to my face, punk. So it starts pretty vanilla, and then it gets into, well, 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 make my day, lady at Red Robin, who said the men's room was off limits for me. Say you were joking. Say I am allowed back in Red Robin, and I didn't do an absolute paint job in the men's restroom. I mean, that's – and paint job.
Paint job is great.
It's the funniest thing ever.
Yeah, it's like it became Mud Pie in season one of I Think You Should Leave, but both of them are equally hilarious.
And everybody knows what they refer to, like,
yeah, exactly,
in a God. Specific way.
I love shout out to the use of Red Robin and La Quinta and Greyhound, which are things that like they definitely draw on something for me, but I've never really had a lot of experience with any of them. Like, I don't think I've never stayed in a La Quinta. I've seen them everywhere. I've never eaten in a Red Robin, and I've never been on a Greyhound, but it's just like his like imagery of those, like it impacts me in a way. It's really good choice of businesses to go after.
Yeah, totally. Well, 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 if it isn't the Greyhound bus driver who told everyone I took a dump so bad, we had to turn the bus around and go back to New Haven. Yeah, I went in there. But I'm not the one who did the paint job. I saw who did it. He was huge and he looked nothing like me. He was wearing a captain's hat. But you told everyone it was me. Even George Lopez, who was hitching a ride with us because his bus broke down, announced that it wasn't me. Announced it wasn't in the man in the captain's hat. So Tim also announced, like, he also understands the whole, like, how vocabulary can be funny in itself. So instead of like tell everyone it wasn't me, because the captain of the bus has the microphone, he's saying announce it wasn't me. And there's just something funny about that.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think about that.
Tim, fucking genius. I think we got a couple more. You ready?
Yeah, I'm always.
Am I gonna win a podcast award for this acting or?
Yeah, you're doing a killer job. I mean,
oh man,
keep it up.
Well, 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 if it isn't the maid at the La Quinta Inn who made such a big deal about what I did to the toilet, I said I would take care of it myself. It didn't have to become a huge screaming match in Spanish in the hall. By the way, is he saying he's bilingual?
Oh, that's a good call.
I love the idea of the character being bilingual. In front of all the other customers, including George Lopez. And maybe now you won't have the manager make me get in the shower to clean myself off because you consent before you consent to clean the toilet. I don't even know why he's allowed to do that. That's amazing. All right, we got one more.
That's my favorite rant, by the way. It brings in George Lopez. The showering is hilarious.
Yeah.
You're right, the Spanish. Yeah, it's great.
It's amazing. Well, well, well. if it isn't the manager of New Haven's Puzzle Room. Remember me? By the way, he's clearly looking at a script during this one. He's looking off screen. Yeah. Yeah. I'm the guy who solved all of the clues, but you still wouldn't let me out of the puzzle room. And then I accidentally used the fake men's room. And you brought everyone in and showed them because the fake toilet didn't flush. And then you said in front of everyone, who does puzzle room by themselves? It's a corporate team building exercise for work colleagues. And I said, I like puzzles. And you said, here's a puzzle, dickweed. Why don't you try to get that real crap out of that fake toilet without getting it all over yourself? Yeah, buddy, I never do this. By the way, if you ever had to test, like if somebody was like having some sort of brain issue where they couldn't laugh, just have them read that.
Yeah, that's pretty outrageous. But, and it's the fact that he uses puzzle room when it's like, what are all those places called? Escape rooms. It's just like,
yeah,
it's like a totally like, I've never actually heard it called a puzzle room, but obviously
it's Tim.
Yeah. It's just, he.
Who does it. Puzzle room? He has like no article in front of puzzle rooms. Very subtle.
Puzzle room.
There's one more they cut. It said, well, if it isn't the friend of the host of That's a Chunky, who somehow doesn't like, I think you should leave. Say you like, I think you should leave. Don't be of a note. No, that was off the cuff. I didn't plan that.
That was fucking great.
Thanks,
yeah, fuck,
man.
Fuck that guy. Yeah, I would pull a gun on him because of his hatred of, I think you should leave.
Can't wait for stage presence.
I know.
Could Vinod get a restraining order against you right now?
I think that I've probably given him enough to do that.
If I'm Netflix, I have the link to this episode in I Think You Should Leave.
Yeah, I agree. I think because a lot of people just don't know it. And there are memes off this episode and people are like, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
And yeah, it should be part of it. Why do you have to look for it like that?
And I have to admit, I think I've only watched like two of the other characters' episodes. I think it's all like genuinely funny.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like, it's not. I would rather watch I Think You Should Leave for like the 475th time.
Yeah, same here. I've started a couple others because there's the one comedian. She was in Orange Keep is the Blue. New Black. Lauren Lapkus or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, yeah, who else has one? There's someone
Kate Berland.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right.
So real quick, it's been a long time since I watched this. And this was like in my younger days where I could like go off the grid a little bit. But Lauren Lapkus has some sort of web series with Ben Schwartz, who's John Ralphio.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. And they're co-hosts of a morning show. Nice. I thought it was really funny. I think it's like six, like 12-minute episodes. Have no idea what it's called. Can't remember.
By the way, there's a subplot to these podcasts. My wife's the text my wife gets comes through her computer, which I'm using. And there's and I only get to see what her friends are saying, but there's been like a 40-minute back and forth over potty training a toddler, which is good subtext for the paint job.
Oh, well.
So I can just imagine this toddler like pulling guns on people who shame them. But that's been going on for a while. And it's pretty hilarious.
All right. I think we're going to have to do something really difficult for the next episode. So like, okay. I'm going to give you time.
Okay.
I think we got to rate the season two sketches.
Yeah. Yeah. We have to.
Cause season three is coming soon. Or it's coming.
Yeah. And I don't know anything about timing, but yeah,
we're going to have to interview some amazing character actors, hopefully.
Yeah,
we had a lot of luck season two.
We should try to get Jeff from the characters, and or maybe the gun store owner.
That could be another love option. Him. Yeah, let's do it.
We should go back for that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I was saying to like to Melissa today, like I kind of missed just doing the ones where we kind of were shooting the shit a little bit.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, me too.
Season one was just like us shooting the shit.
It was. And then we got too big. And then we had to bring on the celebrities. And then, yeah.
I know.
We need to get back to our roots. I'm with you. I'm more available. Let's the holidays are behind us. We all have to stay inside from Omicron. So let's just fucking do it.
Yeah. All right. And I don't know if it'd be a total cop out to put them in tiers instead of fully rank them. No, we're gonna rank them. And we have to remember everyone involved with the show. The last place I think you should leave Sketch from season 2 is still would still be the best 90 seconds of TV on most networks this year.
It's true. It's true. 100%.
And I'm not just saying that as a cop out, I actually believe that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I don't even know who would be my last one. I mean, I was really down on Buff Boys for a while, and now I think about it a lot more than other episodes that I thought I liked more. I don't know why, but
I think number one for the season is going to be really tough.
Yeah, I mean, we did that preliminary ranking a little while back. I mean, Coffin Flop is just genius, and Crashmore is a juggernaut. If you count both of them together. It still might be Crashmore for me. That's so fucking good.
I'm going to say at the moment when you say that, I think it's going to be hard for me to not pick Crashmore.
It's so good. God, on so many levels, just the concept is brilliant. Biff Whiff is fantastic. I don't even know. I don't know anyone could do that. You could put fucking Robert De Niro in that, and I don't think he could nail it the way that Biff Whiff did. That's a good Robert De Niro face.
Thanks.
Our friend Jesse Robinson, he does a good Robert De Niro. I've seen some of his.
He does do.
Yeah. So maybe we can get him on to try to play Crashmore as Robert De Niro.
Oh, my God. Young Crashmore?
Exactly.
I was really struggling without – during Christmas time to not tell my kids that Crashmore was coming to leave presents. Christmas is literally never going to be the same for me anymore.
It's true. Crashmore is, he's changed it all.
He's making jokes about tattoos.
Such a piece of shit.
That's my quote.
I've seen everyone. Yeah, I know. I've seen everybody nude.
That was the other one. Reddit has a subreddit called AITA, which is Am I the Asshole? And I did one. I was like, I host a small show. I had on this actor. He does this amazing community service every year, and he's really famous for it. And I mentioned it. I didn't know I was supposed to mention it. And everybody gave these super earnest replies. They were like, no, it kind of sounds like he's the asshole. What did you even do wrong? And it didn't blow up like I wanted it to. What's funny is somebody posted one after, but they posted it on the I Think You Should Leave one. And it was my age 39 male favorite professor from college, 67-year-old male, housed my burger at Graham's Lorelei Lounge. I called him out. Am I the asshole? There's just so much I Think You Should Leave hijinks happening in this world.
Yeah, I think the Billy Bob sketch, not even a sketch, the Billy Bob interview.
Yes.
I don't know if it diminishes Crashmore a little bit or it actually makes it even better, because it's I kind of just envision him just taking himself so seriously that he can't even acknowledge his own multi-decade acting career when talking about his his band that no one ever heard of. It's so amazing.
And the guys feel so awkward.
Yeah, the bandmates are all just have their heads down. It's just
I think if they had redone the sketch with an actor or a fictitious actor, it would severely take away from the sketch. But I think if they had to pick any obviously real or fictitious person to do the sketch with, to pick Santa Claus, which is so perfect, and then to precede it with the trailer of such a quote-unquote hyper-violent movie that knows what it is, it's just Yeah, they took something that was like smart and they borrowed, and then they just like they really made it way better.
Yeah, it's from a concept standpoint, I can't imagine. I just can't think of a better idea for something. And then you add in the execution and the acting and the like, you fucking suck. It's like, and then it's just like, he may get to you, but he sure as hell ain't getting to me. He fucking said that. You know, it's just like,
it's so good.
it's amazing. Yeah. And then the interview is like fucking 10 out of 10, man. I think, yeah, it's gonna be hard for me to not make that number one. It's like,
Yeah.
it's just complete genius.
Yeah.
Whew.
I know.
Oh
All right,
man,
man.
I'm gonna go watch it tonight, I think.
I think that's a good idea. Yeah, I'm gonna I actually haven't been watching it a ton recently, but I'm ready to dive in and really scientifically figure out how we gotta rank these
I know.
sketches.
I'm gonna have to watch a couple. I mean, when we did the rankings for season one, I had seen it, 300 times each. I'm probably at like somewhere between 25 and 50 on season two. So like, it's gonna take some work to get there.
Yeah, I'm not gonna be political either. Like there's some sketches that like I know are top five for other people that like I love, but I love other ones more.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna be real.
Yeah.
I don't want to be bullshit like AOL Blast.
Let's do it. Oh, it's the perfect name for the show too. It's like,
Such a low blow at AOL.
does AOL exist anymore? I think people still have AOL email addresses.
There's like I read something. There's like something like 7,000 people who still pay AOL every month,
Oh my God.
and I think they might still have dial up or something. I don't even
Oh
know.
my God. Oh dear God.
I know. I feel like if they had like sent out more of their CD-ROM, they'd probably still be around.
Yeah, I think so too. Except
Actually,
no one has CD-ROMs anymore. That's the other problem.
I actually read something. I think one year it was something like half of the CDs printed in the world were AOL.
Oh my God.
They were just like putting them everywhere.
I've been thinking about businesses that like kind of missed it. Like Blockbuster
Oof.
really, really missed the Netflix thing. Like,
Yeah.
woo, big time.
Yeah, bad.
Even with the disc, like the sending the disc in the mail. Like that was a genius idea by Netflix, and then they just went full streaming, and Blockbuster just cannot do it. And then I was thinking of like, do you remember Evian? So it was like the bottled water when
Yeah.
bottled water was not a thing. It was like, it was the fancy bottled water, and then bottled water became a phenomenon, and Evian's like toast. It just got completely routed by all these other companies, and it's like, what the hell did they miss? And then
I don't know.
I've got to think AOL, like it was a tech giant, and now it's a fucking joke. Like, what did they miss? Like, they did not see where the industry was going. I don't know. It just I'm always intrigued by that, is like people who missed the boat when they had the lane.
I mean, I think they pissed off Santa Claus and then just
That's true. They did. Fuck.
they fucked up.
He
Yeah,
fucking toast
no.
them.
The crazy thing about the world is like essentially every business goes out of business at some point.
That's a good point. That's pretty dire. Jesus.
It's pretty wild, you know. Except for
My
That's Chunky podcast.
company's not going to go out of business. I'm just
What's your
kidding.
company?
I'm not saying.
Shit, I'm gonna invest.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're right, man. People fail.
God, way
Fucking
to
dark.
fucking dark. Well, if you're feeling dark, just think about Baby of the Year on the way out.
I will. I always think about Baby of the Year.
Pancake by drunk dump truck driver. They usually don't say how they die.
Shut
Shut
up.
up. All right, let's go out on that. It's always a pleasure. Kevin, aka Sammy Paradise. I don't know if I want that comparison. Lady Luck and J-Rod, King of the Slams. We will hopefully see you guys sooner than our last hiatus.
We're back. We're
As long
back
as they
this
don't
time.
keep moving our lunches back. Is
I know, exactly.
that even allowed?
It's not allowed.
All right. That's a Chunky has always been supported by the Etsy shop of Swayzine, Swayzine. In the past, you've seen his amazing motivational posters, his at the Nighthawks diner featuring characters from I Think You Should Leave. You also know his vintage jazz posters of Paul Bufano, Marcus the Worm Hicks, and Mookie Kramer. Swayzine has a ton of new items in his shop we wanted to let you guys know about. Those three jazz posters have been turned into attractive t-shirts. The Marcus Hicks in blue, the Mookie Kramer in green, Paul Bufano in white. He has a very affordable Bozo the Clown clown pewter sticker that you can put on your computer. There is a Baby of the Year bib and onesie. He has Angels and Archways t-shirts, as well as two new posters, one featuring Dangerous Nights, which is being framed and put on my wall, and an amazing portrait of Brian from the hat sketch, the insider trading sketch. But the whole point of me re-recording this ad was to tell you about maybe the most innovative I Think You Should Leave product I've seen in my time doing this podcast, which is actual Dan Flash's shirts. So this isn't like a t-shirt that says Dan Flash on the front. This is a short or short sleeve polo or a long sleeve collared shirt that has the pattern Tim Robinson is wearing in the Dan Flash's sketch, affordably priced at $30. I know when I went to the Dan Flash's stores at the Creeks, I spent $800 out the door and didn't eat for a long time, saving my per diem. But if you go to Etsy.com/shop/Swayzine. Again, Swayzine is Swayzine. You can own these shirts yourself. And we want to thank Reggie from Swayzine for his support of That's a Chunky.